Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is the charismatic young guitarist, Russell Malone. He's one of the most versatile, lyrical, and eloquent players, with a penchant for melody laced with sheer joy and passion.
I'll take that.
Will you?
Yes.
And all the songs that you play have such heart and real great feeling.
Thank you.
I just was listening to your new record, which is Strings and Beautiful Melodies. And what do you like when you're picking a ballad? I mean, do you go for certain kind of tunes? Do you listen to the lyrics or what?
Well, I listen to the complete, to the whole song. A good melody, a strong melody, appeals to me. Interesting harmonies, appeals to my sense ability as a jazz musician. And yes, I do listen to lyrics too. I think all of the great players that I admire and appreciate, they listen to lyrics. It's funny, Ray Brown told me a story one time about when he was playing with Oscar Peterson. Ben Webster came to hear them play, and they played well enough, but Ben Webster walked up to them after the set and asked them if they knew the lyrics to the song, and neither one of the guys in the band knew the lyric. So Ben said, well, you really should learn the lyric to this song, to these songs. It'll help you play it better. So that has really helped me as far as interpreting songs when I play them, knowing the lyrics.
Yeah, well, you and I agree then, because I think the way you play a tune sometimes has a lot to do with what's in the lyric.
Well, I feel the same way. And one thing that has really helped me, I think one mistake that a lot of musicians make, particularly young players, is when they learn songs, especially ballads, a lot of them will make the mistake of learning it from an instrumentalist interpretation of it. But for me, the way to go is to listen to singers.
Well, true, because you're going to hear more of the actual song. And sometimes if you listen to an instrumentalist, you might hear his version of the song, which might not be anywhere near the original.
That's exactly right.
So, well, listen, we're talking on a very high level here, but I would love to hear you play something. And you've brought this very fine young bass player that works with you, Richie Goods. So I'm dying to hear something.
Well, we're going to play a song written by Johnny Mercer. Something's Gotta Give.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's such a good tune and a Johnny Mercer lyric. You should be singing a little of that.
When an irresistible force such as you.
My Sammy Davis Jr. impersonation.
You know, it sounds so good with you and Richie. I'm thinking to myself, maybe I can sneak in on the next number. But meanwhile, I read somewhere you're from Albany, Georgia.
That's right.
You don't have that sound in your voice, though.
You mean the twang?
Yes.
It comes out, especially when I'm around someone who's from down that way or when I'm around my family. It comes out.
It's funny because I would never have thought you were from there, but I guess what I was reading told this little story about you were quite young at the time, I guess, and you went to sit in with Jimmy Smith?
Yeah, I was about 21.
And you really thought you were... You were something pretty good.
He embarrassed me pretty good that night. We were down at, he was playing at a place in Atlanta called Pasco's La Carousel.
Yeah.
So I'd been listening to Jimmy all my life, you know, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And, of course, he's such, you know, such a great artist.
Yes, he is.
So I went down to the club where he was playing, and sure enough, he was just magnificent. So after the first set, he's standing over at the bar talking to some friends of his, and one of the local musicians who had known Jimmy from years back, introduced me to him. And Jimmy asked me if I had my guitar. I said, sure, I have my guitar in the car. He said, well, go get your guitar. I'd like to have you sit in the next set so we can, you know, I want to hear what you're doing. So here I am, so excited, getting ready to sit in with the great Jimmy Smith, and all of my my buddies were with me, and they were excited for me. So I went up on stage and sat in with him. He played the first tune, which was a blues. And I played all of my crowd-pleasing nonsense. First of all, I made the foolish mistake of thinking that just because I'd heard the records and listened to the records and learned all the songs, I thought that I knew him. I thought that that was what it was going to be about. But so I went up there and played all of this crowd-pleasing nonsense that got over good with the crowd and feeling real good about my abilities. So he kicked off the next tune, which was a ballad, Laura, which is another Johnny Mercer tune. And that's one of those tunes that you just can't hear your way through because it's, you know, it's harmonically involved. So he played the tune and motioned for me to solo. And I'm like, uh-oh.
Ooh.
Uh-oh. So, the more I struggled, the more difficult he made it for me. He started putting in all of these weird harmonic substitutions. And
he would do that.
Yes, he did. He put in all of these weird harmonic substitutions, and he was doing these tricks with the time and the rhythm, and I was really embarrassed. So anyway, after he finished giving me this lesson, I sat down, and he got on the mic and said, in that gravelly voice of his, "We always like to make sure that youngsters learn something when they sit in with us. Now, did you learn something yet, man?" I said, yeah. So anyway.
But he hired you anyway, didn't he?
He hired me a few months after that. But now the rest of the story is he went over to the bar, and he's talking with some friends of mine, and I'm, like, really embarrassed because I had my girlfriend with me, and all my friends were there, and they were like, "Yeah, you really made a fool of yourself."
Oh,
they were,
boy.
They were, like, really relentless. So I went over to the bar, and I was going to thank him for the opportunity to sit in with him. And before I could get the sentence out of my mouth, he got in my face and poked his finger in my chest. He said, "Let me tell you something. All those guys that you're trying to play like," he just ran off this long list of guitar players. George Benson, Kenny Burrell, Wes Montgomery, Grant Green, Thornhill Schwartz, Eddie McFadden, this long list of players. It's all those guys that you're trying to play like. I knew them, and I also taught them, so don't ever get on my bandstand with that attitude again. So I was like, you know, really, I was like crushed. But I didn't leave. I stayed around for the whole night. And then after that, I went up to his room, and we hung out till like 6:30 the next morning.
Oh, he relented then. He must have liked you regardless.
I guess so. Yeah.
He just had been really underneath. He must have liked you a lot.
I guess he saw some potential. So anyway, you know, we stayed up in his room and we talked, and I had my guitar and I played for him, playing a tune like Body and Soul or just any tune. And he stopped me in the middle of the tune, and then he'd make suggestions. And then he talked mostly about his life, you know.
And he can talk.
And Jimmy's great when he's away from an audience.
Yes, true.
You know, when he's got a lot of people around, he goes into this act.
Yeah.
But when it was just he and I one-on-one, it was beautiful. He talked about Art Tatum. He talked about Wes Montgomery. He talked about Eddie Lockjaw Davis, Bud Powell, John Coltrane. And he would get real emotional when he would talk about these people.
Well, that was really a good thing for you then, wasn't it?
It was great. Are you kidding? Yeah.
That really pretty much set you up.
Oh, yeah. That, you know, I've been so fortunate in that I've had the opportunity to hang out with guys, a lot of the older players, and learn from them.
That's why you're so well-rounded and you've got so many great aspects of the guitar going. You know, you've great technique and sound and chops. It's terrific.
Thank you. Freddie Cole was another one, too, that I got a chance to hang out with. He's the one who got me into learning tunes, and he used to always get on me about my phrasing and listening to singers. So I have to give him his props, too.
Well, all this good talk is making me want to hear you play another tune. And maybe this time I can sneak in and play a chorus.
You're more than welcome to sneak in.
Okay, Yesterday's, right?
Yeah, Jerome Kern.
Okay. Thank you. Those solo choruses you did, that's very interesting harmony. Now, did you work that out or did you just do it?
Half of it was worked out, half of it was spontaneous. You know who inspired that? Art Tatum.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, he can inspire you to do the most wild things because of what you hear him do.
I got a chance to sit down and listen to him with a few musicians who actually knew him, like Ray Brown and Hank Jones. And it's funny, you know, I listen to Art on my own, and I try to get as much as I can. But listening to him with these people like that, they caught things in his playing that I had missed, you know. And I was just, wow, I was just so flabbergasted. Ray Brown pointed something out to me, because I listened to Art Tatum play, and the things that he does with his right hand are just phenomenal. But Ray Brown said, forget about the right hand. Listen to that left hand. That's where all the music is. And I never really thought about that. But it opened me up once I started to key in on what his left hand was doing. That's where all the harmony was.
Yeah, because he was doing more than just keeping time.
And that's
he was
right.
Making all kinds of chord inversions and changing the chord. And he was, of course, one of my early influences and still is, I guess.
Yeah, but well, I love the piano, though.
Well, who else were some of your influences growing up?
As far as the guitar goes?
Well, guitar,
just in general.
In general.
Well, the first guitarist that I heard was one of the guys in my church. I grew up in the church, and I was very much taken by the sound of the instrument, and even more so than that, I was taken by how people would respond when they heard music.
Oh, yes, especially in the church.
Yeah. So that was one of my first influences, and then there was country and western players, people that are not in jazz, they're not jazz musicians, but they are just as skillful. Chet Atkins was one
Oh, yeah.
guy who I really loved and respected. Never got to meet him, but I feel like I know him through his music. And then there was Merle Travis, Wes Montgomery, George Benson, Johnny Smith. I listened to just about all of the guitar players in jazz. Teddy Bunn, Lenny Johnson. And then there were piano players. We talked about Art Tatum. But I also love Oscar Peterson. I love George Shearing, Herbie McCoy, and Fats.
Fats Waller. Oh, Fats. Like. Too much. Well, you know, talking about all these people is such a kick, but there's more to come with Russell Malone and bassist Richie Goods. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. Well, we've touched on so many great players, and we haven't even talked about Duke Ellington yet. Sort of amazing. He must have been one of your big influences.
Oh, yes, he was. I loved his writing. He wrote so many tunes, so many good songs that people don't even play.
But there's so many, and there's a lot of them that somehow don't achieve the terrific popularity that ones like Satin Doll have. There's one that I really like. Maybe we could play Squeeze Me.
Oh, yeah. Good
could
one.
We do that one?
We can definitely do that.
All right. E flat, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a million Ellington tunes out there.
You ever hear one called Lady of the Lavender Mist?
Yes. It's funny. I was just thinking about that.
I play that one. That's a good one.
And I think I have a feeling Mercer wrote that.
Really?
Mercer, of course, Mercer wrote the hit tune of all time, Things Ain't What They Used to
That's
Be.
That's right, yeah.
I guess you know how that happened, but they were making a record, and Mercer told me that Duke called him on the phone and said, we just need one more tune for the record, so hurry up and do something, come over here with it.
I never heard that story, wow.
Well, Mercer, that's what Mercer told me, because he told me a lot of stories about his old man, but that was one, like, come up with something, because we need something to fill out the record. And that's what he came up with, so it certainly proved to be a good one. And I guess we could go on forever talking about Duke, but there'll be more in a minute. My guest is Russell Malone with bassist Richie Goods. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company. I would love to do another number with the three of us. It's we don't always have a bass as well as a guitar, and it would be nice to do something with the three of us.
Sure, why not?
What do you think would be good?
What about Gone with the Wind? That's a good tune.
I love that tune.
Well, let's do it.
Well, you start it out, and I'll just follow along. Thank you. nice, lovely. I love that tune.
Thank you.
Well, you've been around on the road, and, well, I know you've been out to California, and somewhere along the way you must have met our mutual friend Benny Carter.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I met Benny Carter 4 years ago at the Hollywood Bowl. I was doing a gig out there, and we really hit it off. He's such a gentleman.
Isn't he? He has that reputation.
Yes.
In fact, he even had a record entitled A Gentleman and His Music.
How about that?
Yeah, everybody always has that to say about him, that he's such a gentleman.
Yeah, well, he was, he's such a wonderful human being as well as musician. But anyway, I was out there, I was at a funeral, actually. A friend of mine, John Collins, the great guitarist who worked with Nat King Cole for 15 years.
He worked with Tatum, too.
And Art Tatum, that's yeah. right. That tune, Battery Bounce.
Right.
That's right. So anyway, I went to the funeral, and after the funeral, I met Benny Carter for lunch. And we sat down and talked and had a nice meal together, me, him, and his wife, and another friend of ours. And after that, I went over to his house and spent the rest of the evening with him, and that was great. Just to be in his company, and just he answered all of my questions so graciously. And he's retired now, but he's still writing music.
Well, I guess he's not retired then.
Yeah, that's true. But he's writing new music, and he sat down at the piano and played a few of his songs, and there was one that really struck a chord with me, this new tune that he wrote called All About You. And he saw how much I liked it, and he gave me the music, the sheet music to this new tune that he wrote. So I went home and I worked on it, and I'd like to play it for you.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, it's a tune called All About You.
Great.
First time it's been played in public.
Really?
Right here on Piano Jazz with
Wonderful.
Mary McFarland.
Wonderful. All About You. Thank you. You know, Benny is an amazing man. He keeps coming up with more tunes.
He's so amazing, and the guy is 94 years old, and his mind is still fresh and open.
Well, I really thought Benny was younger than that, and he certainly acts younger, keeps writing, and amazing man. I think I'm going to call him up. I certainly owe him one. Well, there's more coming up. I'm Marian McPartland, and my guest is Russell Malone with bassist Richie Goods. Piano Jazz is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz. You know what you and I should do? A tune by Alec Wilder.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one particular one that he actually wrote with Lunis McGlone kind of late in life. Blackberry Winter, you know that one?
Yeah, that's a great song. As a matter of fact, speaking of Lunis McGlone, there's a record that he did with the singer Eileen Farrell.
Yes.
She did a recording of all Alec Wilder tunes, and that's where I learned this song from.
I'm so happy you picked that one up because I've never heard anybody do it except, amazingly enough, Keith Jarrett did an instrumental of that, and it was very pretty. And Alec was still alive at the time. He wrote Keith Jarrett a letter, and I just think it should be much more popular than it is. Maybe we can do something about that.
Let's play it.
Okay.
For starters.
Okay. Boy, that's such a beautiful tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never asked you, Russell, because you play with such sensitivity. What was it like when you were working with singers, like with Harry Connick and Diana Krall? You couldn't really improvise, could you?
And some spots, there were some guitar solos. In Harry's band, it was a little different because there are 17 other instruments. However many he had in the band.
I didn't realize that he had a big band.
It was a big band, yes. So there wasn't a whole lot of focus on the guitar. But that was okay. I was very content to sit and to stay in the background and play for the group. Because I think nowadays accompaniment and playing rhythm is a lost art. There aren't a whole lot of people that can do that.
I'm glad you said that because it's true. It's really a very important part of playing the instrument, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, you know, a lot of guitar players out there today, everybody can solo, you know. But as far as interacting within the group, there aren't a whole lot of people who can do that. So that was one of the things that I learned from, once again, you know, hanging out with a lot of the older musicians. And because that's one of the things that they stressed, playing for the group and keeping time. A lot of people don't put a lot of emphasis on time, but I love to keep time. I could sit in the background all night and play rhythm if everything else is swinging.
I'd Freddie Green?
Oh, yeah, I could do that. It's not a problem for me. If that's what it takes to make the music swing and to make everything feel good, I'll do that.
But what kind of chords do you play, just basic chords for whatever melody is being played?
Every now and then I'll throw some substitutions in there. But, I mean, for the most part, I just play the basic chords. I mean, in a big band,
yeah,
you got all of these horns covering the harmony, and then you got the piano player who may be playing some harmony too. So my job was to try to figure out the essential notes, the right notes. Sometimes I'll play voicings that will only have two notes in the chord. But I try to avoid the root. I never play the root because the bass player's got the roots. So maybe one or two notes in the voicings. Freddie Green, somebody told me that sometimes he would play one note.
But
what he would do,
that.
Yeah, this is what I've heard from some guitar players who knew him. But what he would do with that one note, you know.
Yeah.
John Collins, who I mentioned earlier, he laid something really hip on me once. He said that rhythm guitar, it's kind of like vanilla extract in a cake. You can't taste it when it's there, but you know when it's left out.
That's very good.
You know.
Well, I'd just love to do another tune the way we did that other
one.
Let's
do it.
What can we do? Talk at the Town?
How about that one? That's a great song. The first time I heard that song was on one of those Jazz at the Philharmonic records. It was a record called The Trumpet Battle. And Roy Eldridge played this tune. And for some reason, I always associate this tune with him. It's the talk of the town. It's a great song.
He's probably out there listening to us. Okay.
All right, maybe I can set this one up. Thank you.
that was pretty. You know, this has gone by so fast, and getting to play those beautiful tunes like Talk of the Town. Thank you so much for reminding me of that. It's been so many years since I heard that tune.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's been so nice to have you and Richie Goods here.
Thank you for having me. I've always wanted to play with you, and I've always wanted to do your show, and I've always loved you for a long time.
And we're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame time has gone by, and we just have to sort of wind up with what I think is going to be a real energetic, full of power tune by Dizzy Gillespie.
Blue and Boogie, right?
Blue and Boogie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a good tune. We can really get into that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into it.
Okay. It's a great tune to play on.
Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McParland and her guest, Russell Malone. Join us each week at this time as Marian welcomes other outstanding artists for an hour of conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Dan Hoppler, post-production engineers David Mitchell and Skip Beach, production manager David Lyon, executive producer Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina 29201. To hear recent programs or find out more about the artists and songs heard on Piano Jazz, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There, you'll also find a link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz, and from Downbeat, an insider's guide to over 75 years of evolving jazz styles, on the web at downbeat.com. The original production of this program was made possible in part by Borders Books and Music. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org.